I ask Gus.
Recently, I teamed up with a friend to work on a project for the science fair. I felt like I was doing all the work, so I decided it would be better if I entered the science fair as an individual. But I needed to talk to my friend about it. I felt really nervous to say anything to him, and I didn't want to make him feel bad. I prayed and asked God to help me in the situation, and also asked him to give me courage. I then talked to my friend, and it turned out that he actually didn't want to do the science fair anyway. He said that it had felt like a burden. He had just been too nervous to tell me. So God had worked everything out for us both.
Thank you, guys. So, you know, it's so good to hear testimonies. You know, testimonies are very powerful. When we share testimonies of God's goodness with others, we strengthen their faith. Isn't that cool? So our next one is Marian.
Thank you. It was awesome, Gus. Takes courage, doesn't it? That's cool. I feel like I'm carrying a big treasure trove this morning that's my precious treasure that I've been walking through and stuff over the last year. So I just want to acknowledge God because he is just so good to me. He is so good to me. I'll share my story. About a year ago, I started getting headaches and thought, oh gosh, you know, am I getting to that point, you know, hormones and things changing and stuff. So I thought, oh, go and get some blood tests done. And that kind of didn't show up anything. And then I went and got my eyes tested because, you know, glasses could be on the horizon too. No, my eyes are perfect. And like 20/20. And so that was good. And then earlier this year, Alistair was away in the Solomon Islands and Fiji, and I was starting to get really bad headaches, like I could hardly sleep. And so I thought, right, let's go back to the doctor. So I went back to the doctor. I had a locum that particular day, and just said, you know, can I get some more blood tests done and just check, you know, maybe need to be a bit more clear on what could be going on. And then, but also I've got this. My mum and my grandmother both have had burst aneurysms. And I thought, oh, I'll just mention that. And she's like, well, and I've mentioned it to doctors many times over the years and to no avail. I have just as much chance as anyone else and of that happening, and that's okay. And I'm not a fearful person, like, with this stuff. I'm not a worrywart. I'm not like that. So I take things, you know, in my stride with stuff like that. So she said, well, maybe we could just put a referral through to the neurologist and see what happens, and you never know, and maybe even do one for a scan. So I got she said, but the chances of you getting a scan is really slim because they just don't do them unless you've had two close relatives. Like, they have to be a first degree relative, two first degree relatives, not a second, which grandma's second and mama's a first. So I was actually not even qualified to even be checked or looked at. So I went to the, yeah, got home, let it go, just trust, thought, God, you'll make it happen. If you need to make things happen, you'll make a way. So I got a thing in the mail saying that I was declined to see the neurologist. So I thought, yep, okay, God, that's the answer. You know what I need. And then about 2 weeks later, I got a appointment for a scan in the mail. And I was like, oh, that's strange. Okay, I'll take it. I won't say no. So I thought, oh, okay. So then I got there, I had the scan, I lay down, and I just, from that moment on, I just felt there was something quite big that God was doing. And I didn't think I thought it was just because I got the scan that was the big thing, and it is the big thing, because that's what found a 9mm aneurysm in my brain. And I was able to then go and get help. So I didn't realise at first that how serious this was, and then Alistair was away again. And then I got a letter from an appointment that I was going to be needing to see a neurosurgeon, and I knew what that meant. So having travelled this road with my mother, I knew exactly what that meant, and knew this was really serious. And it was, yeah. So anyway, so I just sought God. I just really felt to just keep consistent with my life and not to worry. I felt a real peace. I have felt completely like a wrap around me the whole entire time that I've been walking through this. It's just been the most incredible experience. I just see his hand on things. So when Alistair was away, and I had to tell some people what was happening, so I talked to my father-in-law, and he said, I met that doctor, because we go to the same doctor. And he said, I met that doctor the other day. And I said, did you go to the doctor's? And he said, no, I was at because he's quite pastoral, and he goes and visits people lots, and he was visiting some people in his church, and she happened to be there too. And he said, she's a Christian. And I went, that's interesting. God's just God starting to show up on these things. And just her, she just felt to really push for these, getting some referrals done. So I felt just God was so good just in those things. And so that was pretty amazing. And then, so moving along, I went and saw the neurosurgeon. So the morning of that, I woke up and I thought, I just need you. And so I opened my Bible, and there it was. It was actually the word for the day, and it was Psalm 23, where he says, I'm your friend, I'm with you, I'm your shepherd, I will lead you into still waters and green pastures. And I'm just paraphrasing here, but I just found so much comfort in that. It's like, I don't need to stress, I don't need to worry, I can just go and lie down on some green pastures and listen to the lovely water, you know, in my spirit. And I just felt such peace and comfort, although that was a really hard day. And found out I had to have surgery, and that was the best option, given the chances of it aneurysm bursting, because Mum was 37 when her first one went, and Grandma was 49. So I'm in that age group. So anyway, so we're like, yep, well, okay, well, I wish there was a third option, and I could just not have any of it, but we'll just go with the first option and have it seen too. He said it was like a slam dunk just to get it done. Just, it'll be good. There's all risks with it, with having strokes, which I'm still in that phase of having, you know, so I've got to take my medication and look after myself as well. So there's these, it all comes with risk. And so that was really tough. So we went, I thought the surgery would take a while to happen, so I thought it would probably be September, October, but I got, I think it was 6 weeks after the appointment with the neurosurgeon that I had my surgery, which was just, again, amazing. God's just so good. And just leading up to that time, just so much prayer, so much just encouragement and support, and I just felt so protected and so surrounded. Two people came to me and said I had an angel on each shoulder, and I said I actually feel a hand on each shoulder. It was incredible. I think said jokingly to someone, I'm gonna tell the surgeon that people are praying and that, you know, and let them know about it. And so that was quite funny. And then I had coffee and dessert, went out for dessert with Zoe about a week to the to the day of the surgery. So, and then I went home that night and had this amazing dream. And I was like, oh, wow, that's what happens when you hang out with Zoe. And it's like, yeah, okay. And then all week I thought I needed to go and talk to her about it. So I'll just share with you my dream. So I was in my lounge, and we live across the road from Sanders Park. And so if you look out of the lounge, you see Sanders Park. And I saw this big dark cloud, which we're having a few of lately, storm coming in. And then all of a sudden two tornadoes, twisters, came out of the sky. And they were coming straight for me, like straight towards our house. And they were quite, yeah, angry looking. And I just felt God say, tell them to go. And so I prayed and they went. And then the sun came out. So that was my dream. It was very simple. And it's one of those, you know how when a dream sticks, it kind of, you know, you got to listen. You got to, and if you can't, if it doesn't reveal itself to you, then maybe go see Zoe or Jenna. So we went down a week later to Wellington for the surgery, and Alistair and I just went, the two of us, and we met with the man who was performing the operation the next day. So he is an interventional radiologist. So it's a bit of a mouthful, interventional radiologist. So he came in, he was tired, it was about 7:30 at night, you could see he was exhausted and he just wanted to go home, and he was just very factual and the facts weren't great. So the new facts were, I have another aneurysm, and that a second aneurysm, and that he doesn't even know if he'll be able to do the surgery on the first aneurysm yet until he gets in there and does an angiogram, and so it could still be a craniotomy. So it could swing anyway. And we were just like a bit gobsmacked, and I just thought I was going there, get it fixed, get on with my life, but it's not going to be like that at all. And that's okay, because God is good and he knows how to work these things out. So we just took all of that in, and then Alistair had to leave and needed to try and get some sleep, and I was feeling quite anxious at this point. My faith along this road has been quite strong, and I have really, and so I've had to really tap into that at this point. So it's been very interesting journey of faith, absolutely. So I lay there. I might just read you some. I'm going to share some of my diary. Don't usually share diaries, do we? So I had this news, and I was a bit overwhelmed, as you would be. And so I'll just kind of get to the point where, so I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. Right. So at that point I started praying. And then I just had this thought, oh, Selena had given me some notes that she'd been praying for me. We need the intercessors. We need them. Honestly, this is about prayer. This is about prayer. This is about community, and it is about faith. And so I'll read this to you. I had a thought to read some notes Selena had given me from her times of praying into my situation. So I read through, and these were her words. These are the things I have requested of the Lord for you. Grace, anointed with peace and filled with hope, joy, total healing, great joy and rich assurance, peace in your home for your family, total healing that God has formed and fashioned the earth with his fingers, Psalm 8. He will work through the fingers of the surgeon. God will be present through the surgery, in his hands, his skill and power working through the surgeons. I have continued to have a strong sense of fingers of God. This is Selena's notes. She's got the word beloved. I have felt like God's favourite child, honestly. that song we just sung, where it's like when his eye is on us, on me, that is just how I felt. It's been, his eyes have been on me. Peace and love of God for the preparation and for the details for our family, continued healing and peace, and then, there was a psalm written there as well. So I start praying about this stuff, and before the interventional radiologist left, I said, "Oh, what was your name?" And he said, "Peter." And I thought, okay, cool, thanks, Peter. Oh, no, before he left, I better back up a bit. Sorry. So when we got that bad news, I said to him, it just fell out of my mouth. I said, after joking a few weeks back about saying something to the surgeon, I said, "Well, I trust your skill. I trust your craft. I trust you, and God bless your hands." That's what I said to him. And something shifted. I felt he was very factual, and then there's something softened. And then he left and I asked, yeah, got his name and all of that. So I just started praying, and so I'll just got some notes on that too. So I lay in my bed pondering on these things, and I began to pray. And as I prayed, the dream of the tornadoes came back to me, and God said, "This is the finger of God." Oh, it totally made sense of this dream. Then God brought Peter, my surgeon, to mind, and that his name meant rock. Jesus is my rock, and I will be and will be with me through this. Wow. My faith was being restored. Then I felt to read the scripture Selena had given me, which was Psalm 144, 1 to 2. Now this is where I came undone. Praise be to my Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Well, that had it all in there, didn't it? I was pretty overcome by this, and just felt God has really got this, just with what Selena had said, the name of the surgeon, Peter, just the dream that he'd given me. It just was all coming together, and just, oh my goodness, my faith just skyrocketed. And I just really felt all I had to do was do the next thing, not to worry, not to panic, just do the next thing. And often isn't life like that? So that was pretty amazing. And then so went in, had the surgery. I've got a stent flow diverter in my head on my right side. And I get a few headaches from time to time, and last few weeks it's been interesting, like since I said yes to doing this, how it's kind of gotten quite a little bit, revved itself back up again. And I just thought that, you know, it's interesting how when we want to step out and encourage each other and bless each other, that the enemy wants to try and discredit everything God has done, and he's not going to get away with it. So we had the surgery, and then the surgeon, a few things I'd been praying for. One was that the surgeon would have a good sleep because he was really tired. Another thing I had prayed for was that I wouldn't get bumped off the list and public health system and all. I was amazed that I got in so quickly with the public health system, and just hearing different people's stories. And so I got my surgery, and then the surgeon came in the afternoon and said that four emergencies had come in after my surgery. So I just felt so, again, God's favourite. Like, thank you, Jesus. I'm not his favourite. We're all his favourites. I won't hog him. I was just so, so grateful. So he came in and he quickly spoke with us, but he had to go and sort other people out too and do some life-saving heroic things. So such a calling. So I, anyway, back to where we're at. So the next day after was Matariki, and he came in on his day off, and he came, had a bit more time to talk to us, and I said to him, look, we're Christians. And he goes, I gathered that. And I was like, oh. And he said that I said, look, well, we've had a lot of people praying. He goes, well, I'm a Christian too. And there's been people praying on this end as well. And I was just like, wow, God just keeps on getting more amazing. So I was just like, really? Wow. And I said, well, I have a friend and she's given me the scripture for Psalm 144 and I actually believe it's for you. And so I was able to prophesy over his hands and his fingers for, that he would, every time he goes into surgery, that he is saving lives and he's going into battle and he is warring for people with his skills that God has blessed him with. And I know he's worked hard to get them, but, you know, it's still God is on it and God is on him. And I just felt so, like, so blessed. It was such an amazing moment, eh, Al? So that was pretty incredible. And then, so we just felt like a real, like, there was something amazing going on. And so I remember before the surgery, we had the last potluck lunch. I was talking to, was it Sandy? I think it was Sandy, she's not here today, out in the kitchen, and she was just talking about her stuff, and I just said, oh, you know, I really feel like this is more than just me, this is a big thing, so I couldn't explain it, and I still can't explain it, but we'll see what happens. But I finally got some blood pressure up, so I have quite low blood pressure, which is, again, not a... It's usually the opposite symptom for someone who has aneurysms. I don't have high blood pressure and I don't smoke. So I don't have the criteria. But we got back to the motel and Alistair's like, oh, we had our medical notes. And we're like, oh, let's look up what this flow diverter looks like. And I just was like, wow. So I haven't got a picture for you to show you here, but I do on my phone. So if you want to see what it looks like, basically it looked like the tornado. And I was just like, and I need two. So I will be having another operation on this side. And they found four more aneurysms on this side in a cluster. And so I will be having two flow diverters that look like little tornadoes. So God is just amazing how he has just woven all of this into my life. The prayers, I have to say, it's like prayer, corporate prayer, individual prayer. Intercessory prayer is essential for our lives, okay? Community, wow. Like, the love on my family has just been, I felt so undeserved, but my kids have been making comments like, people are so generous, wow. And like, so it's not just cooking a meal, it's sowing into the next generation the spirit of generosity and kindness. And so showing them what that looks like. It's about faith and trusting God with our lives. So I totally have trusted God with this. And, you know, at times I've wobbled and the hills got a bit steep and the speed wobbles kind of hit, but he has pulled me through and he will continue to pull me through. I feel like this is a bit of a trilogy, one of those movie, you know, so I might be back up, who knows. But yeah, so I just want to bless you with that encouraging story and that there is hope in all our situations. And yeah, and God is so good, so good. Amazing grace doesn't even, I feel like it's not, you want to come up with a better word, but yeah, he's so good.
Amen, amen. Wow. Amazing and powerful testimony, Marian. I just, sitting there and just came to me, Isaiah 55:8-9. Sometimes life situation can cause us to doubt God's goodness, question his existence, or wonder if God's word is true. We expect God to help us a certain way, but he does not always do our way. Amen? And the scripture says, oh dear, okay, where's my scripture? Scripture says, oh, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You know, we were praying this morning, and Marian just prayed. And when she was praying, I saw her like a little kid. You know, they sort of found something. Like, it looks like a treasure, a box with full of treasures. You know, she opened it, and then she looked around, and then she closed it again. But the excitement in her eyes, she knows what is inside that box. And then after a few minutes, I saw her fully open the box. And then there was such like a gold dust coming out of the box. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, Marian. I think this season is yours. There are some good treasures in you that not only for you, but it meant for the body of Christ. And I just want to encourage you with that. And our next one is Anand. So good to see some men sharing their testimony.
Good morning, church. 1975, I was born to young parents. My dad was 18, my mom was 19. By the age of two, I had a younger sister. My father was 20, and by the age of two, he'd left. And my mom brought up myself and my sister in Dublin. By the age of 13, Mam had passed away, sadly took her own life, and was brought up by grandparents in County Tipperary. So we went from the city to the country town. I was working for my grandparents in their shop, and I was doing some graphic design on computer in the early 90s, where this elderly man used to come into the shop. Composed his own poetry, and I was doing some design of his poetry and bookbinding, and he'd be in two or three days a week. Loved his company, he was a lovely man, and somehow my mum came up in the conversation, and he said, well, if you'd like to talk about your mum, come over for a cup of tea. And I said, it was probably 6 years after mum had passed, I was 19, and I felt to myself it was exactly the right thing to do. The Lord had blessed that man with the gift, by the grace of God, of the Holy Spirit. He was born again Christian, and he himself, to be sitting there beside me in the shop, had to be obedient to the Lord. In 1983, he gave his life to God, but before that, in the late 70s, he himself, he was abandoned by his own mother, very ill, and was living over a shop where my uncle worked at the time. And he got very ill and needed to leave, needed to be rushed to hospital. My uncle went to see him in hospital, and not long after, a few years after, he left that town and went to England. So he described that town as it's being burying its living as well as its dead. He didn't have a good experience. He was, yeah, so a lot of torment and tribulation. So in 1983, he got sick again, and an old lady came into beside his hospital bed, said, you have a gift of healing and of counseling, and I want you to go down to the corner with this elderly lady, and I want you to pray for her to be healed. And she was healed. So realizing that gift, he gave his life to the Lord, and even having that gift, he didn't want to step out in that. He was nervous, he didn't know what to do, but the Lord was talking to him, and he was wanting to send him back to Ireland. And he said, don't send me back to Ireland. Don't send me back. When the Lord is speaking, he sometimes gives confirmations to speak through people. And he had a confirmation to go back to Ireland. And the second confirmation came when he was at a Bible group. And a young boy said to him, why are you being a Jonah and not going back to Ireland? So okay, Lord. He was back in Dublin, and still not back in our hometown. And a man said to him, are you Michael Egan? And I says, I am. And it was my uncle who went to see him in hospital when he was rushed to hospital that time in the town. So that was his final confirmation to go back to the town that buried its living as well as its dead. So he returned to the hometown, and that's when we first met. So through Michael's obedience to be in the place where the Lord wanted to heal him, he was able to heal me. So the first cup of tea, I went over to Michael's house. He prayed for me. I had a big weight on my shoulders. I knew what was going on, what happened to my mom, and it weighed heavily upon me for 6 years. And even as I'd walk down the street, I'd feel that weight, and I'd be looking at the ground. And so when he prayed for me, that the power of God moved my shoulders from here to here, and my head went from here to here, and the whole weight got lifted off me. So by the power of God, I was healed of that oppression. 2 years later, again having a cup of tea with Michael, he said, why are you looking for your mother's love in your girlfriend? I didn't know I was doing that. And through prayer, I no longer looked for my girlfriend to fulfill an empty void in my heart, for where that girlfriend could have never filled that, but by the power of God filled the empty void in my heart that longed for my mum. And it was God who healed my heart. 20 years later, I had a conversation with Michael Egan on the phone, and he says, Anand, you have a great opportunity. And I knew it was with the Lord, and I said, I'm taking that with two hands. So 8 years ago, I came out of the waters of baptism and received, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit into my heart. So, as you say, it's like turning on the Wi-Fi and being able to see and hear from God. So my prayer is this morning is allowing God to show you where you need to be. To be obedient to the Lord if there's moving and shaking within your life, that it's listening to him as to where you need to be in order for him to heal you. It might not be comfortable, but it's going to be for your good, and his plans for us are good. The healing of the heart is allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Bear your scars of hurt. Trust the Lord with your heart, every area of your heart. Ben talked about any corners of your heart. So exposing every area of your heart and giving it that to the Lord. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Let your hearts not be troubled. Fear not, for I am with you. The first book of Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, that we may be a blessing to many. And I just, as I was sitting on that seat, I saw this light on the lampstand, and reading scriptures this morning before coming to church, the Lord would say that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.
Thank you, Anand. Powerful testimony. So after our service, we're going to have Anand, Gaz, Marian, and our last one will be Dylan. Oh, yeah, you are. So we'll call Dylan up. So he'll be our last one to share his testimony. But after that, if you need prayer, if you're struggling, whatever you are struggling in, Anand can pray for that. And if you are struggling with health issues, we'll ask Marian to pray for you. So we listen to Dylan.
Good morning, everybody. How are we all today? It's nice to be up here. My wife said she was coming up, but she's going to chill over there. So that's beautiful. That's all good. For those of you who don't know, my name's Dylan. My wife is Jules. Before I start and end, I just want to say that iron sharpens iron. And when I'm around you, like, my iron is sharp. So I just really appreciate you, bro. Yeah, I'm from the UK. Jules is from Holland. We met in the UK, I think, 8 years ago now. So it's a long time ago. And it's a long time now, just taking. We moved to the Netherlands. We spent 6 months there. And then we decided this is a bit boring. And we moved back to the UK before coming to New Zealand, where we've been for the last 5 years. So, yeah. It's been a bit of a challenging time, I think, over the last 5 years because of COVID and stuff. We weren't able to see family, weren't able to spend time with any of our family, missed a lot of events and that sort of thing. But we held strong in our faith, and yeah, I feel like God was really with us in New Zealand. So yeah, it's quite amazing what he's done for us. And coming into City Life about two and a half years ago, you guys are like our family. We see you guys as our family. So yeah, we just really appreciate you. A year ago, we got residency, so we can stay in New Zealand indefinitely now without getting booted out, which is pretty good, I think. So 7 years ago, our dream when we were in Holland was to own our own cafe. And it's always been our dream. I've been a chef for 15 years. Jules has been smashing out coffees for 7 years, I think. You probably don't want to know how many coffees she's made. It's a bit scary. It was our dream to have a cafe. So we've kind of always been chasing that. Whether we've worked in places that aren't similar to cafes and stuff, it's always led to the moment where we said, now's the time. Now's the time to do it. So, a year ago when we got our residency, we looked at a few opportunities in town, a few opportunities of buying into other businesses and that sort of thing. And they always seem to get to the final stages and then we'd just pull out, like we wouldn't want to do it because it was just, I don't know, it didn't feel right or it felt like a risk or something like that. And then a little building in Uranui came available 8 months ago now, and we went and looked at it. Jules didn't want to go look at it with me because it was pink at the time, this big pink building, which was a bit weird. She didn't see it as us. But we walked into this building and she went, yep, I love it. So we decided to pursue that, and we took that on, the lease on about 7 months ago, I think, and over the 7 months, we opened nearly 3 months ago. So it's called Brunch Room Uranui, and Anne's wearing the t-shirt today. This isn't advertisement, church. This is just, Ben, I'm a bit disappointed you didn't wear your t-shirt today, but, can't have everything. We open 6 days a week. We work from 5:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. So we work some long days, 6 days a week. The one day we do close is Sunday, because we feel that Sunday is an important day to be here in church, to be with God, to worship God, and to thank God for everything he's done. And it's quite a strange thing for a cafe to close on a Sunday, I feel. A lot of people didn't really like that idea. I remember one man walking into the cafe, we've never seen him before. He walked in and said, "Good morning, how are you? Do you think Sunday's the best day to close?" I said, "I do actually, yeah. Because God is good. God is greater than anything anybody can ever possibly imagine. And we're doing double what we set out to do in our business plan currently at the cafe. And it's like, we just feel so blessed for everybody praying for us. And yeah, God is more than enough. I just want to tell you that today, church, that he loves us all so much. He wants us to do well. He wants us to succeed. And this week, I just want to give thanks to the church. We had 18 members of City Life come out to visit us this week, and it's pretty good. You know, I might be able to get a pay rise if Jules lets me, but I'll speak to her later. But it's just we really appreciate your love and support throughout our journey. It's pretty big for us. We don't have family coming out to check up on us or see how we're going. So you guys, you are our family, and we really appreciate you coming out. That's it from me, pretty much. Just one other thing I wanted to say is my team is on supper at 6 tonight. If anybody wants to come and just get a feel for it and join us, then that would be awesome, and we'd welcome you there. Awesome. Bless you all. Go well.
Thank you, Dylan. I think we'll go and have our staff meeting there this Tuesday. The boss have to agree with that. Amen. It's so good just to listen to people's testimonies. How awesome is that? And there's only one thing that they can testify about is the good Lord that we serve this morning. So, you know, powerful testimony for how God heals and how God came through in every circumstances. And I love Anand's testimony. When he first started coming to the church, I think I was one of the first one that, you know, always tried to start a conversation with him. And that's when I knew his story, how he was brought up. And but, you know, looking at what God has done in our lives, it's just so amazing. Amen. So we'll all stand and we'll end our meeting, our service in prayer. And I would love to ask Sarah's dad if you could end our meeting with a word of prayer. Is that all right?
No surprises. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you that you love each and every one of us, that each one of us is your chosen child. Lord, we thank you for the blessings spoken, thought, and yet to come. Lord, we pray your hand upon the four that spoke this morning and their families, that would multiply and go forward, and on each person here. Lord, I pray your blessings on this family, the work that's happening here, the lives that are changing, in your ever reliable presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, for those of you who need prayer, you can come up, but our service has ended. When we'll ask Marion, Gus, Dylan, if you wanna pray, come up this morning. So there's hot drinks available and coffee from Ben. So enjoy and have a great afternoon.